You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Welcome along, everyone, to the Punt Podcast here from William Hill, looking at the Top Flight Football each and every week, Monday afternoon here. And it's Dave Kellner joined by Lee Phelps to have a bit of a Premier League debrief with the international break coming up this weekend. And we're going to talk about the England squad that Sam Allardyce has selected for the first time just yesterday.
Love that England squad chat that we do.
Well, it takes up so many column inches, the England squad being announced.
It's completely like against what people, how people care about it as well, isn't it? You know, there's no correlation between the amount of column inches and radio, podcast, TV time taken up compared to how much the actual public care, especially after the Euros.
So what we're going to do is add more time.
Well, we're going to limit it, aren't we? We'll probably do
2 minutes on that, yeah, won't we, at the end.
I've done a little graph outside to kind of chart how much the public interest is compared to how much we're going to talk about it. So I think 2 minutes is the optimum.
What frustrates me is that when I was younger, I'm not old, but when I was younger, back when I was watching football in my teenage years, you've got always got a sense of optimism, haven't you? For instance, in 98, when Sol Campbell had that goal disallowed, I remember watching that game and thinking, wow, the future's good for English football. And each and every time, there's optimism leading up to a major championship, and it's completely soul-destroying. It crushes your spirit at the end of the day, doesn't it? Every single major championship they go into, they fail.
1 minute 20 we've got left now. Yeah. I've just used up 40.
Sorry.
But the other thing is, after every tournament now, you get all these sanctimonious Olympians coming back going, yeah, this is how to be a sportsman. I heard on the radio today that in 1996, probably the last time that we really got excited maybe about England, GB won one medal, I think it was.
Yeah, in Atlanta.
Yeah, one gold. Not one medal, one gold.
That's when footballers were footballers. But now, all the money that this country has is going to cycling.
That's fine for me. Sports that you can sit down and play. Every Premier League player take up an Olympic sport and see how they get on. That's 40 seconds we've got left on
yep.
England now.
That's it. Let's talk Premier League football, because we're only 3 weeks into the season. We've got this international break, which is frustrating. But if you played the... I don't know if you saw all the William Hill countdown Premier League offers, Mr. Phelps, but the 32-1 shot has already landed. Did you see that?
Was that for to be unbeaten after three games?
All to win. Manchester United, Manchester City and Chelsea to win their opening three matches. 32-1 it was on the Premier League countdown.
We know that. The stats tell us that people were backing these as well in shops around the country.
People love those countdowns. Love those countdown offers. And that's 32. Well, we will find out and we'll maybe mention it on the weekend podcast. 32-1. 32-1 that was. And Manchester City are favourites to win the title. 7-5, Manchester United 3-1, Chelsea 9-2, Arsenal 10-1, Liverpool 12-1, Spurs are 16s, Leicester 66-1, 100-1 bar. Not much has changed actually in this outright market from the start of the season. The only thing that has slightly altered is Chelsea are a little bit shorter and Arsenal are a little bit bigger, because Arsenal haven't started the season well. Again, Arsene Wenger didn't get his transfers done in time. Lucas Perez and Shkodran Mustafi are coming to the club, and he's eventually spent. But I mentioned this to John Cross, who wrote Arsene Wenger's book on the FWA podcast. Arsene Wenger gets frustrated by the transfer window, and he's a cynic when it comes to that. But why not get your business done early on? He didn't get the Jamie Vardy thing done. And then he just let it stew and simmer. Knew he needed a striker, but he's waited, and now they're already behind in the race for the Premier League title.
Arsene Wenger, that is, it's very interesting, because I was watching a match today on Saturday, and you see the interview with Wenger after the really good win, and it's like Wenger's become such a kind of almost like a joke now amongst football fans. He's like a parody of himself. He came on, and it's like, he's not, like you say about the transfer window, he doesn't like the transfer window. Right. It's against Arsene's like mentality, that is.
Yep.
It's like he doesn't like the season starting when it starts. On Saturday, he said, and they won well, but they had a really good second half, and then pretty much first half, second half, they were a bit bit weak and didn't let Watford back in, but you know, they weren't on the same. And he went, we just ran out. We're just a bit tired in the second half. We're not at the stage yet where we can play full 90 minutes. What? How can you say that?
And he's full of contradictions as well, because I remember prior to the season starting, they'd had a good result in a pre-season friendly, and he said all the players are ready to go. They've hit their physical peak now. Lost on the opening day of the season to Liverpool. He said players just aren't ready yet physically, and it's just
so
like,
weird.
Do you not remember what you've said a week earlier?
I couldn't believe when he said that about the second half. I was like, yeah, they're not at the level yet where they can play full 90 minutes. Well, you think to yourself, like, this is a club with title ambitions. They're 5 points off the top against teams now who look like they're going, as that countdown offer suggested, teams here are going to seldom lose games.
They've hit the ground running, haven't they?
And they look very, very strong. Now, let's say they lose a title by, 5 points. I'm not saying they should have beaten Liverpool and beaten Leicester, but at least a point against Liverpool would have been enough. And, you know, I think that they should have been expecting to go to Leicester and win. They beat them twice last season. They were the champions. So, you know, I think they would be disappointed not to be at least on 7 points at the moment, Arsenal, or even six, you know. But it's a very strange thing, Arsenal. I mean, we're going to talk about the outrights. You can literally put a line through them now.
Yes.
They cannot... They can. The Leicester thing taught us not to say they cannot. They will not win the Premier League title. They haven't got the bottle. I don't think they've got a manager who instills enough confidence in them. Look, they've got some fabulous players. And I was watching Sanchez on Saturday. God, is he that ball? He no back lift, just pinged this ball into the box for Ozil to head in. He's a fabulous player.
That run from Ozil was incredible as well from deep.
All good. But they can't do it. You know, top four. Maybe this is the last season that Wenger's there. If they don't get top four, and suddenly even that evades them, because there are some good teams in this division this year. But as for the betting, there's not a lot to dislike about that. I mean, we know you're a big fan of the whole Jose Mourinho 2-year, 3-year cycle at a club. He always does well in the first year. He's got some amazing players. He's got players who look head and shoulders above the rest. He's already the winning games in the dying seconds, you know, and getting away with it. They're building ahead of steam. The fans seem to have forgotten the previous couple of seasons. At 3-1, they look a decent bet, to be fair.
I think they're a good bet. I think you look at Manchester United. I like Chelsea as well. I tipped Chelsea on the pre-season podcast. I do like Chelsea. But you look at Manchester United's starts of the season. They're obviously 3-3. They've beaten Bournemouth away, Southampton at home, Hull away. So it's been a pretty easy start from a scheduling perspective for Manchester United. What I like about the team is defensively, they look very solid. Yeah. If Luke Shaw stays fit, he's like having a new signing, isn't he, basically, this year. Daley Blind reads the game beautifully, and he's forming a partnership with Eric Bailly that's keeping Chris Smalling out to the side. I think that in the future, Jose Mourinho might look at Antonio Valencia and think, is he the sort of player defensively that I want in my side? But at the moment, he's playing very well and he's a threat coming forward. So everything is rosy from that perspective. And they've got players now, Robbie Savage said, real Manchester United players. Yeah. You know, the players that are going to win your games. Yeah. Paul Pogba, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Yeah.
And players who the younger players will look... I mean, I think on Match Today again, they were talking about Rashford, and Alan Shearer was saying, imagine playing there. Imagine playing your football. You're on the training pitch, day in, day out, with the likes of Ibrahimovic, you know, and Rooney. He's got a lot of experience and a lot of quality under his belt. Pogba, that's kind of money can't buy stuff for someone like Rashford. And, you know, Man United might just have chanced upon, you know, Rashford in terms of, you know, if Rooney starts to wane even more, this season, then Rashford's a great player to come in. I mean, I think I'd play him. I'd play him in front of Rooney now anyway.
Yeah, and we're not seeing much of Henrik Mkhitaryan yet, have we?
what a player. The reason I'd go for Man U as my bet for the title at the moment is because I don't think there's an awful lot to choose between the front three in the betting. Man City, Man United and Chelsea. I just think from a managerial point of view, although all three managers are brilliant, I think Jose Mourinho, with his experience of the English game, that is the edge for me. The fact that, you know, look, Conte, great manager, he's done it in Italy, but, you know, he'll have to go to the Britannia on a cold Tuesday night at some point. You know, will they be able to stand the rigours of it? Maybe. Pep Guardiola, yeah, maybe. But we know that Mourinho can. So at 3-1, you know, it's not quite as big as the Chelsea 92, but it's big enough for me to say Man United are the best bet for the title this season.
3-1 Manchester United to win the title. Just a very, very quick word on Chelsea, because I like what Eden Hazard's been saying in the press the last few days. He's been a few kidney shots into the midriff of Jose Mourinho, saying that he's enjoying playing under Antonio Conte because this is a man who's played football before. And even though I don't know if people have read into this situation the same way I have, but he's definitely giving Mourinho. Mourinho played club football in Portugal, but not to any particular standard. No. So he's definitely. If I was a Chelsea fan, I'd be annoyed with the way he performed last season. But he's been given a bit of a free ride and clearly enjoying his football again under Antonio Conte. And he's looked superb in the early part of the season.
Well, like you say, though, he did have a season off last season.
Yeah.
You know, and so, you know, he'll be refreshed this time round. But, yeah, they looked a lot better. You know, a lot of people thinking that they might just be a bit of a kind of, you know, stick it up the jumper type team who were happy to nick a goal. But they looked good. You know, an early goal obviously helped them because it opened the opposition up. But I thought they looked very smart at the weekend. They got a bit of devil about them as well with Costa and others in the team.
Top goal scorer, let's talk about Diego Costa. He's in the market, third in the market, top goal scorer betting. Sergio Aguero heads the betting here at 5-2. Zlatan Ibrahimovic is 100-30. Diego Costa, 10-1. Harry Kane is 14s. A whole host of players on 25-1. Alexis Sanchez, Jamie Vardy, Olivier Giroud, Romelu Lukaku, Sadio Mane, all 25s, and it's 33s bar. Sergio Aguero might have a three-match ban to come after his elbow on Winston Reid. That would mean he would miss the Manchester derby in a couple of weekends' time. Zlatan Ibrahimovic has started the season well also. He's 100-30. Diego Costa's looking good. Harry Kane's not scored in August ever, and he's still not scored in August, so he is going to be playing catch-up, and I think the summer might have really affected him badly, what happened in the Euros with England.
George, you mean mentally or physically?
I think mentally.
Really?
I think mentally he looks shot at the moment. He's young, so I'm not saying it's going to affect him long term, but and I know that he never historically performs well in this month, but and he takes a while to get going. I think it's for those English players. Dele Alli's not played well so far.
No.
For those English players that are coming back from that Euros debacle, I think it's a big factor. And that's why I think the Spurs are started slightly slowly.
I can see why, because we always wondered if you know, almost like the positive of there being so many Tottenham players around that England squad pre-summer can work out as a negative post a poor championship, which is what they had. So I mean, this is a fascinating market because, you know, I don't know who I was speaking to before the season, but we were talking about Ibrahimovic and whether he was a good bet in the top scorer list, and I tend to agree that I didn't think he was. I didn't think he'd be able to reproduce what he's done in other countries. His early season form would say he can. I mean, you're looking down the list of his seasons. These are just domestic league seasons. And obviously, he was amazing at PSG last year with 38 goals in 31 league games. 19 the season before that in 24. 26 in 33. 30 in 34. That's his French league career. 28 in 32 for Milan in Serie A back in 2011-2012. 14 the year before that in 29, 16 in 29. So wherever he's been, 25 goals in 35 games at Inter back in 2008-2009, he gets double figures every season.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can count on him to get double figures anyway. And they haven't all been in, you know, the best teams in the world. A lot of them have been. But, you know, he will get goals and he will get himself into positions where he'll get goals. And his ego and his personality will mean that his club mates find him, you know, for goals.
What I like about Ibrahimovic in this market, and I didn't have him on my radar pre-season, it has to be admitted here, he's going to just play Premier League matches, isn't he?
You think so?
I think Jose Mourinho's given him a break now. Mm-hmm. He's taken 4 days off already. Because Manchester United are involved in the Europa League and the cup matches, they have got strength in depth this season where they can bring players like Rashford and Mkhitaryan in for Europa League matches and for cup matches. I can see Zlatan Ibrahimovic playing a lot of minutes in the Premier League, and that is going to be crucial if he's going to be top goal scorer in the competition.
I just think he just looks like he's on a different level to a lot of the players that are around him. I mean, that header he scored off the Rooney cross was just like it was like the defenders were schoolboys. 100-30, second favourite. You know, I'm a big fan of Aguero, as you know, and you know, like you're right about any ban that he gets. But I mean, he's had injuries in previous seasons. He's still scored lots of goals.
That is the thing with Aguero, though. He is injury prone, isn't he? I suppose.
So you know, you're always going to have to build that into your bet, aren't you? And that's the way it is. Three goals already, of course, and the same as Ibrahimovic. Won it in 2014, 2015 with 26 goals. You're looking, by the way, at mid to high 20s. 25 last season, 26 season before, 31 when Suarez won it for Liverpool. Van Persie won it back-to-back seasons, once for Arsenal with 30 goals and once for Man U with 26. So you need to be, you know, you need to be getting at least 25 goals a season here. So, you know, if you look at your team needs to be scoring plenty of goals for that to happen. You know, someone like Vardy last season didn't quite do it, even though he was the main man in his team. You need a team that's, you know, produces a lot of goals. That's why I like Aguero as well, because Man City are usually up there in the goal scoring charts. Arsenal, yeah, I'm not so sure about it. You know, I think they spread the goals out too much at Arsenal for me, really. Sanchez, great player, but he's not prolific. You know, he's not someone who's going to get you 25, 30 goals a season. He'll get you some amazing goals, but he drifts wide too much and provides too much.
Yeah,
it
is interesting that he played as the sole striker, but they brought in Lucas Perez, so he's going to be vying for that position in future weeks.
I think
weeks.
I put Sanchez up before, DK, and with the proviso that he plays as the main striker, but Wenger, he drifts too much in a game, so I wouldn't have either of the Arsenal strikers. Giroud won't play enough and won't be consistent enough. Vardy, I don't think he can do what he did last season again. I don't think they'll score enough goals this time round. So, no. Costa's
interesting. Yeah, he's three times the price of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Yeah. He's got two goals already. And it looks as if Antonio Conte is making him the focal point for Chelsea this season.
Look, he'll get a ban, won't he? He'll probably miss three or four games through suspension.
Yeah.
You've got to build that in. I mean, you know, look at his yellow cards over the past 5 or 6 years. You can go back even further than that, really. 9, 5, 9, 12, 7, 8, 8, 2 already this season. You know, it's like he gets as many yellow cards some seasons as he gets goals. having said that, you know, since he really broke through at Atletico in his last season, 27-20, and he got 12 goals in 28 games last season.
Yeah.
It's a good record.
But
you've
got to remember how Chelsea underperformed last season. Yeah, that was a theme running through their entire team, that their players not performing to the best of their ability.
I think he'll get a lot of goals, but I don't think he'll be the man again. I think the thing with him is that he will miss games, and I think they'll share them out a little bit more at Chelsea, but I think he'll be right up there come the end of it. I think he'll be low 20s again.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic in that market then for you?
I'm going to have to go for him, but just because I think Man United will score bucket loads at times at home. I think Mourinho will let them off the leash at home, and I think we'll see Man United scoring fours and fives at home at times. I'm not sure. Look, I think City will as well. I love Aguero, so I'm finding it hard not to just say Aguero, because I just think he's phenomenal, and he is a sort of player who he'll score, you know, threes and fours in a match, which is obviously massive in a market like this. But there's no one else in there for me. Sturridge, injury prone. Sadio Mane won't get enough goals for Liverpool. Lukaku, nah. Harry Kane is an interesting one. I'm a big Harry Kane fan, but you know what you're saying is true. You know, they may well struggle to get going, and he's already losing ground on some fantastic players. So you know, he's already playing catch up. He's only three goals behind.
I don't think Tottenham have invested heavily enough in the summer.
I agree with you.
Vincent Janssen and Victor Wanyama coming in. I understand both those signings, because Janssen is there to take maybe a little bit of pressure off Harry Kane at some point, and Victor Wanyama to partner Eric Dier to protect the back four. But I thought they might, with those three clubs we talked about, Manchester City, Manchester United and Chelsea, investing heavily in their squads, Tottenham have maybe stood still a little bit in the summer.
Yeah, I agree. I think Kane, again, like Costa, he'll get 20 goals, maybe a few more. But I think that if we had a line on how many goals we'll win this, I think we'll be closer to 30 than we will be to the mid-20s this season. Mm. I think we're going in for a cracking season full of goals.
Top four finish, Manchester City 1-8 in the market, Manchester United 1-6, Chelsea 4-11 here with William Hill, Arsenal 4-5, Liverpool even money, Tottenham 7-5, Everton, who started well, they're in fourth in the league at the moment, 7-1. Leicester 9-1. West Ham 14s, 28-1 and bigger. The rest, from what we've mentioned, we've been through the outright market, Lee. To get into perspective, what you've been saying, we fancy Manchester City, Manchester United, Chelsea all to finish in the top four. So that's three of your four spots gone. So we're looking at the other one, basically, and the betting has it between Arsenal, Liverpool and Tottenham.
Yeah, I think Tottenham are the best bet in that three. I don't think they'll challenge for the title, but I think Pochettino has got them as a very well-organised team. They'll be hard to beat. I think they'll beat the easier teams and they'll have a good record against the other big teams as well. Maybe not beating them all, but I think that you'll get more consistency out of Tottenham than we will out of Arsenal or Liverpool. On their day, I think Arsenal and Liverpool will grab the headlines more often than Tottenham will. But I think come like February time, they'll be like, look where Tottenham are again. You know, and they'll become this team. You know, I know they've got European football to contend with this time round, but they have been doing that for a while now with the Europa League. You know, so they've got used to that extra bit of work in the middle of the week. So I like Tottenham. I agree with you in that they haven't strengthened massively, but I don't think they need to have strengthened massively to beat Arsenal and Liverpool. I think they would have had to spend fortunes to go to now leapfrog City, United and Chelsea. So Tottenham at 7-5 for the top four for me. I just think Liverpool. I think I'd like to see Liverpool finish in the top four. I think Klopp's great and he's great for the game, but so inconsistent. And until he gets them more consistent, I can't really trust them at even money.
I had Arsenal finishing outside the top four in the pre-season podcast, but a lot of people might look at this right now and think 4-5. That's got to be a good bet. They've finished in the top four in 20 consecutive seasons in the Premier League, and now you're getting a price close to even money for them to do it again. And they are finally making moves in the transfer market. They're strengthening at the back with Mustafi coming in. Lucas Perez is coming in up front. So Arsene Wenger has finally dipped his hand into his pocket and decided to spend. And I think they signed those two players on the same day, and over £50 million, that's Arsenal's, from a spending perspective, most productive day ever in the transfer market. And they're 4-5 to finish in the top four. A lot of people might be thinking, well, that sounds a good bet.
Yeah. I mean, when you look back over the last few seasons, they got 71 points last year. It was a pretty low total for the Premier League anyway last year. I think it was 75 the season before that. There were high 70s the season before that. 73 in 2012-2013. They don't often get into the 80s, you know, in terms of points. I think we're going to see a high winning total points this year in the Premier League because of that challenge between Manchester clubs and Chelsea. I think that those three are going to push themselves all the way. So Arsenal traditionally get around the low to mid 70s, and I think you're going to need a lot more than that. I mean, that's some years, that's like 15 points away from the title winners. I mean, even last year they were well away from Leicester, weren't they? You know, it wasn't like
Leicester crushed everyone last year.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, they don't tend to do particularly well, Arsenal. When you look at it, they finish in the top four, but in terms of points, they're always way off the pace. 5 points off the pace already. So I think, this is going to be the first season that they don't finish in the top four for me, and it'll be the last season that Arsene Wenger's the manager at Arsenal Football Club.
Bold words.
Luckily, I'm not on the pun that often, so no one will remember this bit.
No, let's talk relegation then very quickly. Burnley 8-11 to be relegated. Hull 5-6. Sunderland 19-10. Watford 9-4. Crystal Palace 14-5. Swansea 14-5. Bournemouth 3-1. West Brom 3-1. 4-1 for Middlesbrough.
Quite
Stoke
open.
13-2. Very open. I mean, you've got 10 teams there.
You're going to make me pick one?
Shorter than 7-1 in the relegation market. So this is, from an anti-post viewpoint here, the most competitive market and the most interesting, definitely.
Yeah.
You've got a number of teams that have only picked up 1 point in the opening three games as well this season.
I did better in the relegation market last year than title market, which is, I think probably most people did with the Leicester thing.
See, I put up West Brom at 4-1 at the weekend on the weekend's podcast, saying we were talking about Tony Pulis and Derek's got a real bee in his bonnet as far as Tony Pulis is concerned. But Tony Pulis has come under fire. He's been the focus of McGovern's wrath in the early part of the season. Basically just saying that it's not only the fans that don't want to see that sort of football, the players don't want to play it either. And
they
have made a signing. Nasser Chadli's, we're recording this Monday afternoon, Nasser Chadli's been signed Monday morning.
I mean, but you know, you're not going to get, it's not like, oh, right, they've got Nasser Chadli.
Yeah, it's not like that. You know, but he's going to...
Would he play any better than he did at Spurs when he was surrounded by great players?
He was okay at Spurs last season.
He was all right.
Spurs are a top six, top seven club, aren't they?
Yeah.
Whereas West Brom are a bottom six, bottom seven club. So he's going to improve them, definitely. Solomon Rondon's a decent striker.
He is, yeah.
Saido Berhino's gone for a walk. He's odds on to be
at Stoke. He's like Forrest Gump. He's been walking for like years, hasn't he, to be fair?
Well, I don't know what's happening with
his
career.
He's one of them charity jaunts, isn't he, around the world. He's walking the world. It's Berhino.
We've got a Berhino special on the website, by the way.
Will he smile when he celebrates? Will he ever score again? And will he smile?
Stoke are 1-2 to secure his signing before the transfer window shuts in a couple of days. Well, he's 7-4 to still be at West Brom. Which, I mean, just finish it. Just leave Saido. And they're wanting to get rid of him for 16 months. 7-4 is to stay at West Brom again and not play well. Crystal Palace and Tottenham both 5-1 in the betting. Southampton 16-1 for his next club, and Watford 25s. For the good of everyone, Saido Berahino, just go. Go now. Stoke need a striker desperately, because Shane Long and Austin... Charlie Austin aren't going to get them many goals. And I said on the podcast that they're missing Graziano Pella, a guy that can get them 20 goals a season. I think he only scored 20 goals in his... Someone dug me out on Twitter about that. I think he only scored 23 goals in his entire career at Southampton. I'm saying he's a 20-goal... I couldn't believe how few goals he's scored.
20-goal club man.
Yeah, 20-goal club man, not 20-goal a season man. But they do need someone to come in. I don't know if Berahino's the man for Stoke. He's wanted to go to
well,
Stoke.
Yeah, you're taking on a bit of baggage with them, I think. It is a tricky market, a really tricky market. Burnley look like they are lacking. But the manager usually gets a tune out of his players, doesn't he? And you know, they might need to get the backs against the wall for them to really get going, Burnley. Obviously it was this weekend was a bit of a chastening experience from the bridge, but they wouldn't have expected much more than that. I think he can sweep those results under the carpet, to be honest with you. I expect them to fight. I wouldn't be surprised if we see another like Aston Villa dragged into it this season.
Well, you know what? I'm always looking at this market. I'm thinking about managers.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about who's the best managers at these clubs, and Sean Dyche is a good manager.
Yeah.
I'm convinced about that. David Moyes, I think, is a bad manager, and he's in charge of Sunderland. Some of the stuff that he said, we talked about this on the podcast as well, don't expect it to be any different. We're going to be in a relegation fight. I mean, you don't want to be transmitting that sort of attitude onto your players before they go out and try and fight for you. And I'm not surprised they conceded late on against Southampton the weekend to lose out on a couple of vital points at the end of the year. Walter Mazzarri for Watford again, there's concerns there. 9-4 for Watford to go down. Alan Pardew, Crystal Palace should have enough to survive.
Yeah,
I don't like West Brom.
The Crystal Palace have had a shocking 2016, though.
They have.
I know we tend to look, for the purpose of stats, we tend to treat the summer like it never happened, and we say, oh, they haven't won this many times. And I think, you know, if you're a player or a manager, I'm sure they'd say that's a different season. But more often than not, that kind of form does carry on.
Well, it's happened with Stoke as well,
absolutely,
hasn't it?
Yeah, they can't seem to shake it at Crystal Palace. And they need to get going soon. They probably needed this break just to have a bit of a rest and gather the thoughts a little bit. They're away at Middlesbrough after they come back, which I think is a very big game for them, Crystal Palace. And then you know the next game after that, at home to Stoke. No easy games, of course, in the Premier League. Then away at Sunderland. But they've got some games now where you would expect them to win. If we get to the next international break and suddenly they haven't won, I'd be getting a little bit worried for them, to be honest with you, Crystal Palace, because they need to start winning some games pretty sharpish. Look, you know, I think Hull, I'm in danger of doing a Leicester here, but I think Hull will bottom out. I think it's going to be very hard for them to last the season, given how hard the early part of the season's been. I know other teams have Europe and all that sort of stuff, which is a drain on their energy resources. But I think Hull will eventually get found out. I just don't think there's any... The Leicester thing was different. There was love at the club. There was momentum at the club from the previous season staying up. I think Hull have that momentum of being promoted, but there's so much ill feeling amongst the fans. I don't think it'll take much for the fans to get onto the club owners again.
Leicester unearthed some incredible players, didn't they?
Yeah, and Hull are using players in
N'Golo Kanté and Riyad Mahrez, Jamie Vardy.
I think the punt, by the way, when good old Tom was kind of lauding the fact that they had some quality players. I think Snodgrass was the one. Derek just ruined him. Snodgrass, which is fair enough. I've put West Brom up for relegation for about three seasons running.
Well, I think West Brom are 3-1 of the best. I saw Snodgrass go down at the weekend, And it was as if Lionel Messi had just been felled for Barcelona, the way Sky reacted and the way the fans reacted and the coaching bench. Everyone was genuinely concerned that this Scotland international wasn't going to be able to continue for Hull City. So he is a big influence at that club. Curtis Davis impressed me at the weekend. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was good, wasn't he?
They'll need to keep him fit if they're going to survive. I still think... I mean, people were clambering over themselves to back them at this sort of price to finish bottom pre-season. Now you're getting 5-6 for them to be... Not quite this short, but you're getting 5-6 for them to be relegated. Wouldn't put anyone off having a few quid on Hull to be relegated at 5-6. I do love West Brom in that market at 3-1.
Yeah, Southampton interests me, but they're a big price at 12-1. You know, we keep saying it every year, you know, as you mentioned about Pelé and the rest, that you can't keep losing your players and you change your manager. So they do interest me at a very big price. I think if they get on a slide, then they'll be struggling.
They go off short. 1-2 they were. They went off 1-2 at the weekend at home against Sunderland, and I couldn't believe,
which is crazy,
when I was recording the podcast, they were 8-13. Yeah. They were hammered in the market and drew that game 1-1.
The other thing to look at, you mentioned about managers, the other thing to look at is the cost of the clubs and the wage bills for the clubs. Obviously, you wouldn't be surprised to know that Hull, Burnley, Middlesbrough are the bottom three in terms of the cost of the total market value of the squad. Hull mainly because they haven't got any players. if they had a normal squad size, they'd probably be up third bottom. Then Sunderland come in with Moyes in charge. Bournemouth are an interesting team. They're a nice team, do really well. I wonder if they could get dragged in, because I think I'm right in saying that they are also down right at the bottom of the list in terms of wage bill as well. Now, how long can you keep paying Premier League players less than every other Premier League player in the division and still getting a tune out of them, Eddie Howe?
I think they'll do well.
I think they'll do all right, but I wouldn't be surprised if they get dragged. I can't have them at 3-1.
No.
I mean, I think that's so short. Bournemouth at 3-1 or Southampton at 12-1, I don't see an awful lot of difference between these, other than the experience that Southampton have had.
Yeah, I agree with you.
We're in a team, DK, right? And all our mates keep getting sold to better clubs, and they're having the time of their lives, and they're driving fantastic cars, and we're still at Southampton. Nice club as it is,
yeah.
You're just gonna eventually you're gonna be like, do you know what? I'm not having this.
I want a Lamborghini as well.
Yeah, I don't want to drive, a Mercedes, a Jag around Southampton. My three are going to be Hull, Watford, and Southampton.
Right, I'm going to 12 go.
12-1.
I can't change my I'm not even sure what I went for pre-season. That podcast just has been banished from my memory already. I'm sure someone will bring it up at some point. West Brom. I'll tell you what else we had on after the punt on midway, the weekend punt. I'm going West Brom there. That's my only bet. 3-1 in that market.
Oh, you had to pick one. Now you tell me. I thought it was
only
three.
I'm only picking one. On the weekend podcast with Tom and Derek, Derek said, I could see Middlesbrough finishing the top half. Apparently on the pre-season podcast, he's got them to be relegated.
Super. So,
someone tweeted me saying, I'm sorry if you're listening again, listener. I've forgotten your name already, but got a tweet saying, oh, Derek's changed his tune quickly. In fact, didn't all you chaps go for Middlesbrough to finish in the bottom three? I just said, I'll have to listen back to that podcast.
It's fair to say that Derek is also distancing himself from the Everton Champions thing, isn't it?
Yes, when I brought that up, he wasn't...
Short shrift. I think
he wasn't quick to
And he blanked me
agree.
The week before when I mentioned it as well, so I think he's given up on that one.
Let's finish with the England squad. Big Sam Allardyce's first England squad has been announced. What are we going to talk about as far as the betting is concerned here? We've not got much, have we?
A couple of things. A couple of markets. And the two markets, which are... There's a little bit of interest in there, I think.
We've got the who will start in goal versus Slovakia on the 4th of September. Joe Hart 4-9. This is on the specials tab, by the way. Joe Hart 4-9. Fraser Forster 2-1. Tom Heaton 8-1. And we've got the who will start the match as captain market as well against Slovakia on Sunday. Wayne Rooney 1-5 in that market. Gary Cahill 10-1. Joe Hart 12-1. Jordan Henderson 12-1. Chris Smalling 16s. Eric Dyer 16s. John Stone 16s, 20s bar. It's not a particularly inspiring squad that Allardyce has selected. You've got the same players that disappointed us in the Euros in there, virtually without exception, except Ross Barkley's out. He didn't play any part in the Euros, and he looked overweight in the Euros. But I'm surprised at his omission, because I think we've got to be looking for younger talented players to come through and start performing for England. And he's played well under Ronald Koeman in the opening three matches, got two goals. And I'm surprised that he's been left out, in all honesty.
Yeah, I can see. I would have him in every squad, just, you know, given the experience. But I'm not going to cry too much about this one. He's obviously, you know, the manager said it was his hardest decision he had to make. So, you know, fair enough. The interesting, these markets then, who will start in goal versus Slovakia for this friendly? Joe Hart 4-9, Fraser Forster 2-1. We know what's happening with Joe Hart, that he hasn't, we know he's not the first choice keeper at his club now.
Not the second choice anymore either.
No. So, that, you know, I think Sam Allardyce has to play Fraser Forster here. He's the first choice. He has to be the first choice England keeper going forward. Now, Joe Hart probably will get another club. You'd imagine, you know, today he's talking, apparently, you know, the papers are reporting that Torino are interested and they want him. So you would imagine he will get first team football, and then that's absolutely fine. Now, Sam Allardyce should play Fraser Forster here to show that it's his first squad. He plays players who are getting first team football. Otherwise, he's laying down a real dangerous precedent, I think, for every player in that squad.
And isn't it hypocritical if he doesn't? Because he said to the press that Marcus Rashford hasn't been included in the first team squad. He's been not demoted, but given experience in inverted commas in the under 21 squad because he's not playing regular club football under Jose Mourinho at Manchester United.
Sam Allardyce has said in the last week that he insists it's critical that the Man City goalkeeper is playing first team football in the long term. Now that's the key, long term. So he could get away with playing him in this game and then saying, look, you know, I think he'll get a club, blah blah blah. But it's the first game of the qualifiers. I know they need to win it, but I can imagine him being fully confident, putting Fraser Forster in there and saying, Joe, I'm gonna, you know, you'll play when you get first team football again, and everyone knows where they stand. He's got to lay down a marker, I think.
2-1's the value in that market.
It has
isn't
to
it?
Be. I mean, Tom Heaton, no chance, unless the other two get run over by a truck. Tom Heaton, you know, all he did was carry bags at the Euros, didn't he? So, I go for Fraser Forster in that one, 2-1. As for the captaincy, I find it interesting. We're recording this on the Monday, and it'll be announced on the Tuesday. So it's interesting that he's done the squad and then said he'll announce his captain on the Tuesday. If there was any candidate other than Wayne Rooney who stood up, I'd be like all over him. But there's no one. I just don't know why he's waiting a day to say, yeah, Wayne Rooney's still my captain.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
When you got the likes of Shearer in the Sun this summer saying he should retire from international football, Wayne Rooney. He's 1-5. The only doubt is why has he waited a day to do it? We looked earlier on, didn't we? And there's only one of those others who you mentioned who's actually the captain of their club. And that's Jordan Henderson.
Yeah.
But he doesn't fill me. I don't think, look at him and go, yeah, great captain. You know, Gary Cahill. Joe Hart's the third favourite.
Well,
I don't even know if he's going to start.
Well, I wouldn't be convinced that Gary Cahill's going to start at 10-1. He's not an absolute certainty.
It's damning that Sam Allardyce wanted John Terry back in this squad as much, I think, for his captaincy as for his defensive skills. Because his defensive skills have been questioned over the last 3 or 4 years in terms of his pace and his ability to get around the pitch. That's a wide open market. I don't know who Big Sam favours out of that lot.
Well, it's just got to be Wayne Rooney, hasn't it?
I'm just thinking if it's not him, who would he pick? Now, what I would say is that he was a centre-back himself. He probably would favour having a centre-back as a captain in a team. I would, actually. If I've got a strong centre-back, I'd like someone to be able to see the full pitch, either that or an exceptional central midfielder. We haven't got either of those, really. But I'm gonna say, just for a bit of a value pick, if you want to have a bet on this, I'm going to go Cahill at 10s.
They shouldn't have a captain.
Just leave it. You should all be captains at international level, shouldn't you?
Well, it's not worked, has it?
Do you know what,
though?
Like,
a captain's not worked for 50 years.
We started off
this... Let's not have a captain.
We started this podcast by talking about the olden days in the 90s and all that, when England had a team. I don't know this for sure, but I would like to hazard a guess that most of the players in those teams of years gone by were the club captains. You know, when you look at the players that we had, they will either have been club captains or they will have been influential players at their clubs. Now, I know you could say some of these are influential, but
that's changed.
None
with
of these
the,
are influential
that's
characters.
With the foreign players coming into the market,
what about
isn't
Eric
it?
Dyer? He's the only one who's got anything about him, Eric Dyer.
Yeah, 16 to 1. he's not captain at Spurs, is he? No, Hugo Lloris is captain at Spurs. Yeah. But yeah, he'd be the one that I'd take out of that market.
I'm so uninspired by that full list, though. Eric Dyer.
It'd be nice to have a new long-term captain, because Wayne Rooney...
Oh, come on. I mean, he's
shot to pieces, isn't he,
really?
It's
ridiculous that he's captain.
He provided the key moment
on Saturday, but he's done that game against Iceland. What did he show from a captaincy point of view? He showed nothing in that second half. I can't have him at 1-5.
It makes my blood boil to a point that's not comfortable here. Thinking back to that Euros, it was just catastrophic's the right word for it, I think.
Should we have one quick little chat about which English club goes furthest in the Champions League? And
yes.
Then call it a day.
Yeah.
So just to let your blood settle again before we finish.
Manchester City are 6-4 in that market. British club to progress furthest. Arsenal are 9-4. Tottenham 11-4. Leicester 11-2. And Celtic 50-1. I think the key to this market as well, you've said Manchester City, I think they will progress furthest because the club want Champions League success. The owners want that. They've wanted it for a long time, haven't they? And that's why Pep Guardiola has been brought in to deliver that, because the previous managers haven't been able to. So Manchester City looks the obvious one at 6-4 to me, despite the fact they've got a difficult group, but they're going to probably be playing second fiddle to Barcelona.
I think they'll finish second in that group, and then that'll mean it's potentially a harder route through for them. I'm sure everyone's seen this over the weekend, but it's a quick recap. Arsenal have got Bale, Basel, Ludogorets and PSG. You'd expect them to finish second in that group behind PSG, perhaps. But depending on how Arsenal get going, they could pit PSG. PSG haven't started the season in particularly scintillating form. Obviously, no Zlatan there anymore. As far as the other English teams, Tottenham are in a group with Monaco, CSKA Moscow and Bayer Leverkusen. Tottenham could win that group if they play anything like what they can achieve. Club Brugge, Copenhagen and Porto for Leicester. I mean, you couldn't really have picked an easier
group.
Great
group, isn't it?
I mean, Porto are very good at home, so you'd expect them to win the home matches. But if Leicester can get that home stadium rocking and, you know, get some of that Premier League form they had last year, I mean, off the pitch as well as on it, from the fans and the players, then I think they could potentially win that group, as amazing as it sounds. They've got chances there, haven't they? Celtic are in that group with Man City, of course. Celtic won't go any further than the group stage. Is there a chance Man City could have a really tough draw here and not get past the next stage?
No, there's a definite chance if they finish second, and that's why they've drifted to 6-4, isn't it? Because before the draw was made, they were a lot shorter in the market.
Is the Leicester fairy tale over, DK?
11-2.
I mean, it's
interesting, isn't it? I suppose.
But you
need Arsenal or Manchester City to fail, don't you? And Spurs, really, because I can't see
Arsenal failing.
Yeah, definitely. I can't see them getting past more than one more stage of the competition. Can you?
And success for Leicester would be getting out of the groups.
Yes.
They'd be happy with it, with going out of the next stage, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Man City's the sensible bet. I'm merely looking for value, and there's probably none there.
No, I think they've priced this just about spot on. Man City 6-4 to progress furthest. Arsenal 9-4. Tottenham 11-4. Leicester 11-2. With Celtic 50-1. Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
Enjoyable.
I think we did about 3 minutes on the England squad, so that's good. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You can follow myself and Lee on Twitter @dkellner, @LeePhelps. Download this podcast via iTunes. Just type in William Hill and subscribe. You can do the same via audioboom.com as well. Again, type in William Hill. I'll be back with Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin ahead of the international fixtures this weekend, taking place on Sunday and Monday, involving the home nation. So stop by then. That will be recorded on Friday. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and we'll speak again soon. If you're having a bet on any of the Antipost markets, the very best of luck.
Get a £5 free bet every week with Offer Club from William Hill.
Hey, oh, let's go, let's go.
Simply stake a total of £20 or more across the week on pre-match football accumulators with four or more selections, and you'll get a £5 free bet on the Friday. Plus, you can get on faster and easier than ever with our new and improved mobile betting experience. Join William Hill Offer Club on mobile or online now. When the fun stops.